It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. It's quarter number two, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. As promised, here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, we are taking a quick breather from training camp and just trying to sort out. We've had all these little media scrums and practice observations, and BTN was just there, and there's all this stuff out there. I just wanted to take a breath and let's just figure out what we might have learned since camp began and where we are on a certain set of topics. So we'll do the offense now. Right after this, we'll do the defense. Just work our way down through some of the themes, just boil them down because there's a lot of information out there now. No, I don't know if there's a ton that's new per se, but there's a lot of information, a lot of quotes, and that kind of thing. So I think first and foremost, anytime you have this conversation, Greg, you start at quarterback when there's a battle, going on, and I'll put the word battle in quotes, but Penn State really sticking with the idea that it's Clifford and Levis is going to all boil down to game week. And I'm sure that they're not going to announce anything a second before it has to be announced, which means it might be watching who runs out of the off the sideline into the huddle to start the game against Idaho. That's what I'm sort of anticipating. Sean Clifford on one side, Will Levis on the other. I think they really like Will Levis. I don't think that anybody's blowing smoke about that. It's just hard to believe when you're following along with training camp and every little video clip that either BTN or Penn State shares, every discussion about leadership involves Sean Clifford. You know, they can keep saying what they want to say about this competition, and I think they're trying to be as fair as possible to Will Levis, but I think their actions are speaking volumes here that, you know, and it's not a big surprise, I guess, that Sean Clifford, it, to me, remains a heavy, heavy prohibitive favorite to win this job.
This is no different than the Trace McSorley This is no different than the Trace McSorley, Tommy Stevens battle. There we go.
You almost botched the second
Third
time.
Time's a charm, man.
You really took a good deep breath.
Yes.
And then, what'd you call him? Shane McSorley, almost. That's,
yeah, almost. It's no different than the McSorley-Stevens battle, though. I mean, it was endlessly, this is a competition, this is a battle, it's closer than expected, yada, yada, yada. And I get why all those things are said, but if you go back and listen to this show at that time, the conversation was, look, this is Trace McSorley's job. It's not really one that he can lose, and that's going to lead to him eventually being named starting quarterback in the week of the first game. That is exactly what happened, and it's what's going to happen here, barring injury. We'll see Sean Clifford eventually, be named the starting quarterback, and it'll be said that the battle was very close and contested, but every single thing you see, just like you said a moment ago, is of Sean Clifford, and Will Levis is getting, you know, he's getting some praise too, and he obviously is extremely athletic and smart and talented and all that, but this is Sean Clifford's job to lose. It's been that way since Tommy Stevens, the word came out that he was transferring, and it's not going to change anytime soon.
So, yeah, I wouldn't expect that. It's just a matter of when we get an announcement.
Right.
At the running back spot, we can gloss over this if we want because I'm frankly a little sick of talking about the running backs.
Yeah, let's move on from that.
That's something that, you know, we're not going to know anything until week one begins. And really, the whole season plays its course to figure out how that backfield evolves. But what we did find out is that Devin Ford is more ready than probably a lot of us thought. He looked like a kid who would be ready. And even James Franklin expressed some surprise that physically Devin Ford, you know, was fast and mature, and I think we saw how productive he was. So he's going to make things interesting. I think that's my takeaway from the running back spot is Devin Ford is no throwaway player in this competition.
No, definitely not. I mean, even though he came to campus a little bit late, it was always clear what kind of talent he had. He wasn't one of the best running backs in the class of 2019 for nothing, and he played against very good competition in Virginia and did very well against it. So he will be in the mix, no question. Noah Kane obviously is going to be in the mix. Ricky Slade and Journey Brown, too. We've talked about it pretty much at length at this point that they have a lot to figure out with that rotation.
They do, and anyway, we'll move on. Nick Bowers at the tight end spot. some momentum on his side, and I don't think there's many players on Penn State's roster who deserve momentum more than Nick Bowers did after really losing, what, essentially two seasons with a knee injury. Now he's a fifth-year senior. Now he emerges as a very reliable, and I think he could be end up being pretty dynamic. Not Pat Freiermuth dynamic, but now you have this situation that we haven't seen at Penn State before. So we have this running back situation where they've got three to four guys they're trying to feed and keep happy and utilize that in ways that maximize their strengths. At tight end, we haven't seen two tight ends, you know, really be game changers since Franklin got here. That's a position they've struggled to fill. Now all of a sudden you've got two tight ends. So the combination of those things, the multiple tight ends, the multiple running backs, has a chance to really change the look of this offense. The question is, you know, how does Nick Bowers emergence now change the way this offense flows?
I think that when they get two tight end sets, it'll be something the defensive coordinators are going to have to really go back and look at, because Penn State really hasn't been able to do it. Nick Bowers said that it obviously would give them some more versatility in terms of getting another bigger body on the field. It can help in the red zone. But, you know, the one thing is Pat Freiermuth had to play a lot of snaps last year because Nick Bowers wasn't really healthy and there was not anybody else that could step in and fill a backup void. Mike Gesicki had to do the same thing. Penn State has had extremely talented tight ends on the first team the last handful of seasons, but it's been a struggle to find a consistent person behind them. So I think that at the emergence of Nick Bowers, it started in the Citrus Bowl, it's just going to allow them to take the next step. And because of that, you'll see Ricky Ronnie be able to do some things and add some packages that he hasn't been able to before.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by GoPSURV.com, where time is running out. If you're looking to rent an RV at any point in the 2019 season, any home weekend in Happy Valley, do it in the next few days. August 15th is the cutoff. If you do it by then, you get everybody in your party gets a free 4-and-out tailgate club meal to go along. It's just one more thing that you don't have to worry about on a game weekend. You show up on GoPSURV.com's lot. You hang out. You tailgate there. You go to the stadium, which they will provide a shuttle there for you. You hang out. You tailgate there. And then you go to the game. You have a great time. And then guess what? You go back and you tailgate some more. This is the ultimate tailgating experience, only available through GoPSURV.com. Check them out to learn more. What have you learned from the offensive line so far, Greg, this camp? I mean, I think Rasheed Walker, if there was any doubt, it's a sink or swim situation for him. I mean, first and foremost, that's probably the number one storyline to continue following. And you'll have seen him lose some one-on-one battles, but you also have to reinforce that, you know, whether it's Yutor Gross-Matos or Shaka Toney or Jason Owe or Shane Simmons, Penn State throws a lot of really, really good pass rushers at him. So that experience, at least Penn State hopes, has a chance to pay off, and he's mature and has, you know, anytime you fail or lose, it's an opportunity to grow. He's gotten a lot of opportunities to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's an old Craig Fitzgerald and Bill O'Brien phrase, and James Franklin and Dwight Gault use it too, and Herb Hand was big on this too. Iron sharpens iron. And if you want guys to be able to take the next step, you better have the competition they're going to see on the field in practice. And a lot of Penn State's offensive linemen are getting that work. So, you know, I have more questions than answers about this group for yet another preseason. I mean, is Rasheed Walker ready to be the man at left tackle? There's going to be some growing pains early on, but how quickly do those dissipate and he become the guy that can really handle that job? Will Fries was, I don't want to say a rotational tackle last year, but him and Chaz Wright subbed in and out plenty. There's not really anyone for him to do that with. He must step up and be the guy that can handle that job every snap for the entire season. Steven Gonzalez coming back is big. Same thing with Michael Mennett. But who's the guard? I mean, that's kind of a conversation that's really gone quiet in a lot of ways. Is it C.J. Holmes? Is it Mike Miranda? We've seen Bryce Effner in that conversation. I mean, the problem with Miranda and Holmes is that, you know, they both seem to be a little bit behind in one area or the other. They would complement each other if they were the same person, but they're not. So it makes it even that much more challenging to make a choice there. Personally, I think if C.J. Holmes, and this could be an unfair just ignorance to the Mike Miranda's game, but it seems like Thorpe just has a little bit more. And I said C.J. Holmes earlier. I meant C.J. Thorpe. But, you know, Thorpe and Miranda, when you look at Thorpe's game. He just has that aggressive streak in him, that nastiness that I think Penn State's been missing and looking for on the offensive line. And Mike Miranda might have it too. We don't know that. We know for a fact CJ Holmes or CJ Thorpe has it. Now, can he control that? And because we obviously saw some penalties last year when he was on the defensive side of the ball. So can he harness that? I think that he's improved in that area. To me, Dustin, if it's a true toss-up, I think, and Mike Miranda isn't on that same level as Thorpe in terms of the aggression and everything else, I think you go with him out of the chute and risk it and see what happens.
I think there's been no change in the approach to use both of these guys. But I think I'm with you on the idea that CJ Thorpe will emerge as the guy who plays the majority of the snaps. And I think the reason is, and maybe we're not qualified to speak to the nastiness level of, you know, your Connor McGoverns or your Ryan Bates or some of the others that have come through there, but CJ Thorpe takes that to another level. And I think that's another level that Penn State wants to get to. They want to finish blocks and play to the whistle, and they want to be mean. They want to be tough. They want to be nasty. You know, CJ Thorpe's going to talk some trash. He's going to be physical. He's going to do all those things. And maybe you start to set a different tone on that offensive line. Maybe that's contagious. And I think the real tempting thing is, you know, I think he's got a higher ceiling than Miranda does. Probably he's got a lower floor than Miranda does. So you have to reconcile those things as it goes on. But if CJ Thorpe can hold his own as a pass blocker, and if what he brings to the table brings a spark to the offense, and it's not even just the offensive line. You know, you see him mix it up with a guy from the other team, that's going to – it has a real chance to rally the offense as long as you keep it within its limits. There's some upshot here to having C.J. Thorpe for the entire offense, and I think we're going to see that that's going to win the day at that guard spot.
Yeah, I would not be surprised by that at all, but yeah. You know, we've talked a little bit about some other positions where there's a pretty big battle and you don't know necessarily who's going to win it. You know, Dustin, that guard spot's one that maybe gets overlooked a little bit because I think it's just assumed that one of those guys will win it, and we don't know enough about either one to say that it'll be a net positive or negative one way or the other, regardless of who wins it. But they need that little bit of nastiness, that little bit of, you know what, this guy across from me, my job is to put him in the dirt, and I'm going to do that. And they've had it in spurts, I think, the last couple of years, but surely not for the entirety of the last, you know, three seasons. So it may give him the edge he needs to win the job.
One last note, not much clear at the wide receiver spot, but Justin Shorter seems to have made quite an impression in year two, and I think a lot of people are banking on him making quite the impression. So there you go. There's a few takeaways so far from training camp on the offensive side. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back on the defensive side, what we've learned so far through camp.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.